Hello, everyone, and happy Sabbath to all of you. Happy and blessed Sabbath to all of you. Thank you for joining us again, no matter where you are, and special greetings to all of you, and especially if you are here for the first time, welcome to the Church of God International here in Canada, Burlington Congregation, and thank you for opening your, so to speak, door to our voices every single Sabbath for such a long period of time. So if you pay attention, as we always try to do it each and every Sabbath on the calendar, so we know where we are. I know we are in the middle of July here, and it's wonderful summertime, if there was a little bit rainy here in Canada, here in Burlington at this time. But on the Hebrew calendar, just a quick reminder that we're just 52 days away, 52 days away before the Feast of Trumpets. So as always, before we opening our service, I'll ask Brother Dylan to lead us with the opening prayer.
Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you so much for bringing us through another week to be with you and your Sabbath here. And we thank you for the insight to know that where our focus should be as we try to get through the world with all the terrible things happening in the world these days, we know that this isn't where our focus is. Our focus is on you, and we thank you for that insight to be able to just know that you're blessing us and you're with us, and we thank you for being with us in on the Sabbath day, and especially, we thank you for the word that you bring us through the message that we hear today. We ask that you put your blessing in their speaker and anoint him with your Holy Spirit and help him to bring your word to us. And we ask that you help us to open our hearts and our minds to this message we hear today Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us together in fellowship and it's just an unbelievable blessing to be able to share this Sabbath with you and Father, we thank you for this and we thank you for this and ask you for all these blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dylan. And it is what a blessing it is just to be invited into the presence of the Almighty God on this sanctified day, the Sabbath day. So next we'll have a hymn, and the hymn will be taken from page 20. Have the hymnal. A beautiful, wonderful hymn, Standing on the Promises. And right after the hymn, we'll go to the scripture reading. And the scripture reading will be taken from Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and will be read to us by Brother Daniel. So first we have a hymn, page 20, Standing on the Promises. And right after the hymn, we'll go to the scripture reading, to Malachi.
Sorry, Daniel, we're just not getting any sound from your microphone. Sorry, still no sound. Maybe just in the interest of time, I'll go ahead and read the scripture here. And Malachi 3:13-17. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son, who serves him. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Agent, and our apologies. We don't know what happened there, but problem with the audio. We'll try to correct it for the next time. So thank you so much for the scripture reading. Now we'll just go over the announcements that we have for this week. And here, let me read the first announcements. Thank you to all those who sign up for the Line Up Online Academy and enroll in the study of the Gospel of Luke. And we look forward to your feedback. And in fact, please take a moment to type your feedback on this new format in the chat. And we're still looking for more feedback before we open our online academy to the public. If you're interested in participating, please click on the enrollment link in the chat. And here another announcement. As always, please join us for our Wednesday night Bible study with Pastor Adrian at 7:30 Eastern time, on Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern time. And he'll continue studying the book of Isaiah, and this coming Wednesday will be chapter 26. And as a reminder, if you haven't already, please let your feast coordinator know where you're planning to go this year. And this information will be very, very helpful to organize not just the church services on a regular basis, but also all the activity that are involved with the church going. And the last one, just a quick reminder, please join us next week here at the same time, 2:30 our time here, for another session from Burlington and congregations here for a Sabbath service. Now let's move to the intercessory prayer here quickly. So here we have an update from Sister Mary Bedard from Windsor area here in Canada, and she undergo a very serious surgery. And now, let me just read it here quickly. She was concerned because the doctor asked her to see her on Tuesday of this week, and to her surprise, they wanted to let her know that all the cancer has been removed and there is no trace of it in her body. And one of the doctors who was not present during the surgery made the effort to be in the meeting to meet her in person, as he could not believe the outcome. So as we can see, this is such a praise from God, and we serve a great God who is able to heal. So Sister Mary is doing much better after the surgery. She's coming. She's recovering. And the good thing is there is no trace of the cancer in her body. And the other reminder, if you remember, we pray for Sister Brenda Ray and especially for her granddaughter who was tested positive for the COVID and she experienced a very high fever and all the other symptoms. So just a quick update. Right now, she's feeling much, much better. And Sister Brenda, I just want to thank everybody for all the prayers. And here, the last one, just a reminder, as always, brethren, our own here from our own congregation, Sister Lisa. And here is just Pastor Murray, just lately, he just sent an update here on this Sabbath in the morning. So I just want to read it to you because many of you who are watching us from all part of the world, you might not have the access to the updated information. So just quickly read it here to all of you. So this is from Pastor Murray, which he said this week, this morning, he said, this week has been a tough one for Lisa, though she has been in a good spirit and our faith is strong. Doctors are working on additional methods to aid the recovery of her lungs. Hopefully, we'll be able to provide more news next week. May this Sabbath be a blessing to everyone. And we continue to be blessed by your prayers, cards, and messages. And we send out, and he said he sends our love to all of you who are, you know, especially so heavy involved praying for our sister Lisa. So at this moment, let's just bow our heads. I will be doing the intercessory prayer here. Loving God and great God, God Almighty, as always, first, we just want to thank you for being our God. Thank you for reminding us on this day that you are the God who created everything, and including us, human being. And you did not just create us, but you gave us this awesome, wonderful power that we can exercise here on this planet, on this earth, Father. And thank you, Father. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you for inviting us into your presence. Father, thank you for listening to our prayers, and especially for the praise report that we heard from Sister Mary and Sister Brenda. And Father, we try to be faithful, and as each week, Father, we know that with Sister Lisa, it's like a roller coaster. One week it goes, you know, it goes ups and downs, and, you know, things changing, but we know that she's in a good hands, she's in a good care, and we still, Father, every single day, every single time, not just daily, but through many times of the day, we raise our voices to you, Father, in our hope, praying to you, Father, and asking for your mercy, asking for a special healing touch, asking for a special anointing on our sister, Lisa, who is still in hospital for so many weeks now, for months now, Father, and we just can't even imagine the effects that this can, you know, be on her, on her mind, on her husband, and the whole family, Father. What a devastating effect. We pray, Father, that you speed up her recovery. Will Father help her lungs to actually start moving properly, working properly, the way how they're supposed to. And you know, Father, how much we missed her during our, not just during our weekly Sabbath services, but our conversations throughout the week and the human touch and everything that comes along it. You know, we miss her tremendously, and we just can't wait, Father, to just see her, just to see her and just to have a conversation with her. So thank you so much, Father, for all the answer prayers, and we know that you always answer prayers no matter what, but you always do. Thank you so much for being our God. Thank you so much for being our Creator, Father. And here also at the end, we are, Father, we ask you that you be with us here in our Burlington congregation, that hopefully as things starts to open up, they'll be able to find a place that we can just gather together, just be together, and spend a lot of time, Father, together as a family do. So thank you so much, Father, for everything. We love you, we praise you, and we ask you all these things in no other name but Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, brethren, for joining me in this intercessory prayer. And as I always, I just want to emphasize how important it is. And, you know, to some of you, you might think that, you know, this is kind of a, it might not affect you, but let me tell you that one day, either we'll ask for a prayer or somebody will ask for a prayer for you. So one day we'll be affected one way or the other. So let's just move on here. Now we'll have a hymn, and right after hymn, we'll go to our main message for today entitled RSVP by Pastor Agent Davis. RSVP by Pastor Agent Davis. But before we go to the main message, we'll have a special hymn on page 106. We have a story to tell to the nations. And right after that, we'll have a main message.
Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to the service, the sermon portion of the service. Certainly appreciate everything that has transpired and appreciate Brother Daniel's attempt. I'm not sure what happened there with the sound, but that's the way it is with technology. There's a lot of moving parts, and sometimes it's just one small thing that we overlook and our message does not get through. I am very familiar with that, having gone through so many audio and even visual mishaps, but certainly appreciate the prayers as well, and the intercessory prayer and the opening prayer. And although I couldn't hear you singing, I appreciate the song service as well. We certainly do have a story to tell to the nations. And that's our message. We have this gospel, this narrative that is the light that comes from the Bible that people don't understand. But God, through his grace and mercy, has led us to understand this. And we have to preach this good news. I was sitting on a park bench yesterday, and I was listening to a podcast, and as the podcast ended, I heard this couple talking to an older couple, maybe about 75 years old, very dignified, nicely dressed, talking to a young man, probably around 40, which for me is a young man, and I just heard them say something about the Antichrist. And so as I got up to leave, I looked at them, and I guess the man thought that I was listening to them the whole time. And he just called out to me and said, "Do you want to join us?" And so in realizing they were Christians, I was happy to join them. And I sat with them, and I guess the gentleman was continuing the conversation with the man that he was talking to originally. And the wife was speaking with me. And we just talked a bit. They are Baptists, but they were very, very knowledgeable about what is happening in the world. And she was asking me if I understood things like the Great Reset, and absolutely I did. And we were talking back and forth. She shared with me who her pastor was, asked me who mine was. I said, well, I'm a pastor. And she gave me her email address. And so I shared with her the link to the Gospel of Luke. And that with this new format, and certainly appreciate those of you who have enrolled, starting to take the course and give us your feedback, this whole idea of breaking it down into 15-minute chunks with an opportunity to test your knowledge and make it more interactive, it just seems to be a great approach to help people to just digest it at their own pace. And certainly, as we preach this gospel, the true gospel, to help people to understand the real narrative of the Bible. So if you could pray for her, her name is Anita. I'll just say that. She gave me her full name, but let's just call her Anita. Her first name, and it's a couple. And they seem very, very earnest. And this type of Christian couple, we cannot preach a superficial gospel to. They understand a lot. And if we just come with this, oh, isn't it nice to know the Lord? And doesn't the Lord make you feel good? And that's good news. They will reject that out of hand. Very, very intelligent couple, very mature couple, and very aware of how the world is changing around us and how our freedoms are being taken away. And I'm hoping now that she will actually enroll in the program. I asked her for her feedback, and we'll see how that goes. But I certainly hope that she will enroll and then hear this gospel message and read in her own Bible what the gospel actually is. So if you could please remember her in your prayers. Now, today, I want to talk about us. And Deacon Jan, in opening the service today, mentioned that trumpets is just 52 days away. Can you imagine that? Time just marches on. So let's make sure we enjoy the summer. And things are finally opening up here in Ontario. And so we can get out a bit more than we have been able to. Let's make sure we enjoy the summer. But also realize that we have an appointment with our Father. And it's coming very quickly. So the fall holidays are just around. And I want to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles and our preparation for it. I can remember my first feast. I came into the church in the city of Ottawa, and I didn't know anything about anything. You know, growing up, my mom sent us to church for about maybe 6 months. I remember her sewing for my brother and I very special suits that we could wear to church and dresses for my sisters. And I think it lasted for about maybe 6 months, maybe less. And we just kicked up such a fuss. We didn't enjoy it. It was very boring. And then as a young teenager, there was a Christian couple that moved into our apartment building and just saw us kids riding our bikes, running around, and just invited us over to talk about Christ. And also my grandmother, whenever she would visit from England, would talk to me about Christ. But that was a very superficial understanding that I had. So when I finally came into the church and finally accepted Christ and accepted the Bible, I didn't know anything. All of my knowledge was superficial. And the Feast of Tabernacles, I had never heard of. And I can remember not having the funds to go to the feast, but the brethren just being so loving and so considerate and saying, just come, we'll look after you. So they found, you know, I could stay with somebody and they looked after my food, and I was able to experience my first Feast of Tabernacles in Niagara Falls. And it was amazing. And I can remember sitting there in the midst of some 6,000 people, thinking to myself, wow, I'm not the only one who understands this doctrine, that there's some 6,000 people here and we all understand the same thing. And this is only one of many feast sites. It was amazingly encouraging to me. and monitor the different feast sites. These attitudes were unheard of when I first came into the church. In Luke 18, and maybe we'll start there as our beginning scripture, Luke 18 and verse 6, Christ gave this parable of the unjust judge and the widow. And in verse 6, he said, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him? So we're familiar with this. The widow just wouldn't stop calling for justice from the judge. And the judge didn't want to hear about it, but eventually he caved in because of her relentless pleading. And so Christ says, listen to what the judge said. Though he bear long with them. Now, embedded in this, in between the lines, what you should hear and what I certainly hear and see is suffering. Christ, if you read John 16, Christ didn't just say, oh, come into Christ and, oh, it's just going to be so lovely, so wonderful. This is just such happy, happy, happy times. He didn't say that. He said, you will have sorrow. The world is going to rejoice, but you will have sorrow. But your sorrow will be turned to joy, and their joy will be turned to sorrow. When Christ returns, it's bad news for them, but it's good news for God's faithful. So here we see that his elect cry day and night unto him. That tells me, and hopefully tells you, there's going to be suffering involved in being a Christian. And certainly this couple that I met yesterday clearly understood this, clearly understood. Society is changing. Our freedoms are being taken away from us. Christians are going to suffer. And they need a true gospel preached to them. And then he says, though he bear long with them, meaning he may not respond right away. It may not be that as soon as we suffer, he's there to rescue us. He may bear long with us while we're crying out to him day and night. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. When he comes, he's taking care of business decisively. So he will avenge them speedily, meaning we are suffering, crying out until he does so. Now, if we are, let's say, careless in our treatment of the scripture, where we're just expecting happy times, happy times. Oh, let's not concentrate on the bad times. Let's just concentrate on the happy times. If we have this perspective, disappointment after disappointment, after disappointment, relentless persecution, suffering, bad news keeps coming upon us. But we didn't take the time to study the whole scripture, to be informed by the whole scripture, then we're going to be confused by this disappointment or this series of disappointments. Instead of knowing the whole counsel of scripture, and as there's disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, we open the scripture and we say, check, check, check. This is exactly what the Lord told us would happen. And so rather than become discouraged, in our suffering, we have joy. In our suffering, we have hope. In our suffering, we see a bright tomorrow because we are informed by the whole counsel of Scripture. So he says, I tell you that he will avenge them and speedily. Nevertheless, even though this is true, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And the question is posed in such a way to say the answer is no. That the church will dwindle down to a very few, because he says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. It's an endurance test. That means that it's not going to be easy going. And those who just want to like, hey, I just want to feel good. I want to feel good in Christ. I want happy times. They're not going to be able to endure to the end. Those who are informed by the whole counsel of Scripture, we're going to hold on. And so we have to read the whole counsel of Scripture. And Christ gives us some horrifying, horrifying revelations of what's going to happen. And then he tells us, I'm telling you this beforehand so that you won't be offended. Many will be offended. But I'm giving you the bad news as part of the gospel story so that you won't be offended. Because nevertheless, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? So he's going to bear along with us, and we're going to have to cry out to him. And even though he doesn't respond and remove the suffering right away, we know he's coming. So I'm not going to recount for us how our freedoms are disappearing. But let me at least say, reduced by the governments opening up the economies and, okay, you're free now, to think that, oh, wow, we're free. That's good. Oh, glad that's over. No way. No way. They have had now a taste of complete control through this medical narrative that they are not giving this up. So we can fully expect that the economy is going to tighten back up. Oh, they loosen it up and we go into the fall and the winter seasons and the flu, which is now, and there's no such thing as flu anymore. Everything is COVID-19. And the variants, they start to pick up again. We're going to lock down again. So we've got to figure this out, and we've got to be able to navigate through all of this. And we have to realize that the church, by implication here, is growing to grow weaker. But there's always a faithful remnant. And let's just take as one key indicator, just one, how we observe the Feast of Tabernacles as an indicator of the church's faithfulness. Again, when I first came into the church, the Feast of Tabernacles was the highlight of the year. You know, they talked about a feast fever, and just before the feast, there was this sort of zeal that the feast was coming up, and they were going to see brethren from all over the world, and I'm wondering, like, what is this? And I don't know anything about this, and I don't have any second tie. Oh, you have to come. There was this real zeal. Today, not so much. Not so much. Are we seeing the church weakening? Are we seeing that the church is just sort of phoning it in now and beginning to fail? If we look at this challenge that we are facing, and let's just go to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. We'll begin in verse 8. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 8, where God says through the prophet Isaiah, and we're going through this book line by line. We don't skip things. It's easy to go through the Bible and just pick out convenient scriptures. If we do this, we can make the Bible say anything. Any point I want to make, I can find scriptures and weave them in such a way that it seems to make the point for me. But that's not the way we should read scripture. We should read it line upon line and make sure that we're reading things in context. So hopefully you're joining us on Wednesday evenings as we're going through this incredible special book, the Scroll of Isaiah. And we will get to chapter 30 shortly, within a week or two. But here in Isaiah 30 and verse 8, the Lord says to the prophet, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book. This is something he's saying to Isaiah, this needs to be written down. You know, I can give a message here today, give a sermon, and a year from now we can forget about it. But the scriptures, we don't forget because they're written down. And so this is a part of scripture that God says to Isaiah, write this down, because this cannot be forgotten. Write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. So what we're about to hear from the prophet is, by God's will and intention, something that would be knowledge that would be available to us today, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So this is not ancient text that we just forget about. This is written anciently with the intention that we today would understand it. Note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. They need to know this. What do we need to know? That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that what? Will not hear the law of the Lord. Oh, I thought the law of the Lord was done away. But this is something that God wants noted forever. That we should always understand that his people, or within his community, there are a rebellious people, lying children, and children that don't want to hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deeds. So we don't have prophets today. We're waiting for the two witnesses to come and prophesy. But today we don't have prophets, but we have their writings. And we might have seers. But in any case, Christ is saying here that there is something about the future, how his plan will unfold in the future, that is somewhat uncomfortable and maybe undesirable. And although it forms part of the counsel of God, God is saying there is among us people who don't want to hear this. So when we try to portray the full counsel of God, they don't want to hear it. Say to the seer, see, prophesy not unto us right things. Instead, we want to hear happy things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits that make us feel good. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Listen, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We just don't want to hear what he has to say. You know, he doesn't just make us feel good about ourselves. So cause his teachings and his counsel, take it away and give us nice things. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, again, the notion here is it's not all pleasant, and people don't want to hear what's unpleasant. Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, but there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, the one you don't want to hear from, this is what he has to say. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But you didn't want to hear that. So packaged in the counsel of God is ultimately your salvation. But you were not patient. You didn't want to hear the whole counsel. You just wanted to hear what's flattering to you. And yet the counsel of God is for you. But you said no. For we will flee upon horses. We're okay. We can look after ourselves. Therefore, you shall flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Yeah. Therefore, they that pursue you shall be swift. So God is making it very clear that we need to take his whole counsel into consideration. And this notion of being very lackadaisical with respect to the Feast of Tabernacles is an early indicator of a spiritual disease in the church. And so we've got to just be very frank with ourselves. Are we among those that say, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us? We really don't like his laws. We don't like his counsel. We want things our way. Or are we among those that if the Lord said it, I want to hear it. And if the Lord teaches it, I want to hear it. And if the Lord is summoning us to come together, I have to be there. These are kind of early indicators. And I think we have to be very honest with ourselves, not looking at somebody else, but looking at ourselves. And saying, are we reflecting the promise of God? It's really a question that, you know, the way that you and I keep the Feast of Tabernacles today, would you say that we are part of the problem in the church, that clearly Christ indicates the coming problem and apostasy in the church? Are we sort of leaning that way, or are we part of the solution? Is it clear that we're going to be part of that faithful remnant? Are we a model for this passing world? Or are we a model of the world that is to come? So let's take a deeper look at this challenge we face as the Church of God and how it can be solved. So I've mentioned already this notion, and even this Christian couple that I was speaking to yesterday, a Baptist couple, clearly see our freedoms are being taken away from us. And they were talking about the Antichrist that's going to be set up. And they were even mentioning about the nation of Israel, which is Judah, understanding that they have a role in all of this. And so I'm really hoping that they will take the gospel, the course of the gospel according to Luke, so they can really understand what the gospel is. The gospel is not just good. Oh, it feels good to know God is going to save us. You can go to any Christian, any Sunday-keeping church and hear that message. But that's not what Christ taught. So we have to understand the narrative of the Bible rooted in the Torah. And how Christ came and lived by the Torah and taught the Torah. And we have to understand the bad news in order to understand what the good news is. If we have no understanding of what the bad news is and what the Deuteronomic curses are, how can we possibly preach the good news? How can we possibly even know what it is? So there's a whole council of scripture that we have to understand and put it all together. And as others now have this hunger and thirst to understand what on earth is going on, that we can point them to the scriptures, and every line in the Bible will make sense to them, versus just kind of going to our favorite scriptures and teaching what anybody else would teach. So a key theme of the Bible is slavery and freedom. And again, I can remember when I came into the church, a little booklet I had that I loved to read from Herbert Armstrong was A World Held Captive. I don't know if some of you remember that, but it, you know, back in the day, this was quite something in terms of the cover. As you open the cover, well, when the cover was closed, it was the picture of the earth behind bars. And as you open the cover, the bars open to release the earth. And that was quite innovative, and he really was quite innovative. And I just remember reading this book and coming to understand, like, wow, the world is under control of the devil. Today, this is so clear. It became clear to me back then, some 35 years ago. But today, is it ever clear? But the Bible has a lot to say about slavery and freedom. And let's, for example, go to Exodus 7. Exodus 7, and beginning in verse 14 here, where we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go." Again, that's why I said to you, don't think for a minute, oh, the economies are finally opening up. We're free at last, free at last. We're wonderful. This is great. Okay, glad that's behind us. Pharaoh refused to let the people go. When the elite see this kind of power and control that they can have over basically the whole world through fear, don't think for a minute that they're now going to release that and not think about it anymore. Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. "And you shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." Now that's quite something. God could have said, "Listen, Pharaoh, the Sabbath is the seventh day, and I need you to just let my people for a couple of hours meet in small units, just give them a bit of a break. And by the way, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up, and I would like you to just give them the high days off and give them a couple of hours a day, and they'll just do it in small groups within Egypt." He didn't say that. And today, when he says that we should assemble to have service, he's not saying, oh, keep the Feast of Tabernacles anywhere. And in fact, even with our Sabbath service, we need to figure this out now. We need to figure out how we can meet in person. Because all of this digital platform, this is wonderful. And you know, God be praised. Here we are, this small little congregation in Burlington, and we've been able to reach and edify brethren all around the world. And that is certainly a blessing. But depending on this digital platform is also a curse. Because the powers that be, the elite, at any moment, right in midstream, they can just shut this down. And they can erase everything. Every trace of our teachings can be removed. And that's another thing that I'm very grateful that God has opened this door for us to open up the Line Upon Line Academy, where we have so many teachings, so many books of the Bible that we've covered that we're going to. We just need the quizzes. We need help creating the quizzes so that we can put this. All the videos are done, thanks to our pastor, Jim French. But we just now need help creating the quizzes. But as people go through the courses, all of the videos are downloadable. So people all over the world can download this content. If you find a particular book or chapter or teaching like really powerful, download it and have it on your local drive. So eventually when all of this digital platform is taken away from us, and it will, because we teach Christ, and Christ will not be tolerated by Satan, at least then the teachings can be spread all over the world. So Pharaoh, in response, God says, "Let my people go. Why? That they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto you would not hear." And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. This is a real struggle for freedom. And all the waters were in the river, that were in the river, were turned to blood. I just have no idea what this would be like. But these powerful, this powerful, sophisticated, advanced Egyptian, powerful Egyptian society, suddenly, doesn't matter what they do, they turn on a plumbing or whatever, blood everywhere. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And that's really what made the empire so powerful, is they were just right on the Nile River, and the whole irrigation system was profound. They didn't have to depend on the rain, and now this water is cut off from them. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So in this struggle for freedom and to release his people from slavery, God took these extreme measures. What we see now in Revelation 8 and verse 8 is basically the very same thing, which tells us that this struggle for freedom continues until Christ returns, that the Pharaoh was an antichrist. And the final antichrist, there are many antichrists, but the final antichrist is on the scene, must be on the scene now, and is about to make his appearance. And there's still going to be this global slavery and struggle for freedom. And here in Revelation 8 and verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. We see the exact same curse as we saw in Exodus. And in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, here in verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. God is showing now this system of oppression. He's going to break it. And then he's now acting after. And this is what Christ says. He will avenge his people speedily. But not, it's going to take some time. And certainly we have to go through 3.5 years of tribulation. But he will act. And now he's beginning to act. And he scorches men with fire. And does this now, like Pharaoh, drive them to repentance? Let's see. And men were scorched with great heat. And what did they do when they were scorched with great heat? And blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. So if you turn to God, he has power over these plagues. You turn to him and he can release you from these plagues. But they will do anything other than serve God. They are wholeheartedly committed to this satanic path of oppression. They blaspheme the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So as it was anciently, so it will be in the future. This is just the way it is. Now, we have to understand that Christ came as a liberator. And he came to liberate his people. He didn't come to the Gentiles. He came to Judah and to Israel. And he's returning to save Judah and Israel. And it is through Judah and Israel that the world will be saved, each in his own order. And so again, we have to have a very clear understanding of the gospel. It's not just, oh, know the Lord and he'll make you feel good. We have to understand what the gospel is and preach the true gospel. And again, this whole idea of the Line Upon Line Academy, this might be a way. We're going to really start promoting this beginning in, we're doing a soft launch now just among brethren. We'll begin to promote it to the public beginning in August. And then from September to December, we're really going to push it for the rest of the year. We just want to fine tune, and your feedback is welcomed and we appreciate it. But we need to preach the true gospel. And here in Luke 22 and verse 15, Christ came as a liberator for his people. And he says this in verse 15, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired. With desire I have desired. This is a real passion, a real zeal for him. With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This was very, very meaningful. And bringing them into an understanding of what he was doing was so critical as he begins to establish the kingdom. He says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So here he is now dining with them. And he's going to drink this wine with them. But he says he's not going to do any more of this until this is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So we know that this is taking place in the spring at the feast of Passover and unleavened bread. That's where this is happening. But he says he's going to continue this when the king, when it's fulfilled in the kingdom. So as we look at the plan of God, is the kingdom fulfilled in the spring holy days, or is it fulfilled in the fall holy days? I think we would agree it's fulfilled in the fall holy days. Let's look at this now. So if we go to Isaiah 25, and we were here this week in the Bible study, hopefully you were with us. If not, it's in the archive. Here in Isaiah 25 and verse 6, we see this feast that God is going to host for the whole world. And certainly his disciples will be right at his side. And the first fruits will be right there with him as we invite the whole world to feast with God. That this feast is pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering. So the Feast of Trumpets, again, Deacon Jan mentioned, 52 days away, pictures his return and his conquest and the announcement of his conquest. Then there's the Feast of Atonement, At-One-ment. And it is wrong for us to teach that the whole world will be at one, and that's what the Feast of Atonement pictures. That's not true. The Feast of Atonement pictures God being at one with his covenant people. It's with his covenant people, spiritual and physical, that he will now be at one with. And as a result of being at one with Judah and Israel, and Judah and Israel being at one with each other, as a result of that, we can now move to the Feast of Ingathering, where now the Gentile world can be brought in. So the Feast of Atonement is at-one-ment with the covenant community and their God. Here, Isaiah 25 and verse 6, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people. Yes, he's coming to save Judah and Israel and to be at one with them. And then when he's at one with them, that then opens salvation to the rest of the world. We have to preach the good news in the proper context. He says, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. He's going to throw a party for the world, and he's going to host it, and he's going to have the best of everything for everybody. A feast of wines on the lees. This is the best wine, aged well, with real character and texture. Of fat things full of marrow, all the flavor is in the fat. And as we move into this world of oppression, you have to be vegan. You can't eat meat anymore. You eat bugs and drink sewage water that they can somehow filter and just dehumanize the man and the woman made in God's image. That meat will be illegal for you and me, but the elite will eat it. But when God comes, he's going to share this with everybody. He's going to share meat. Meat. It's not going to be a vegan feast. It's going to be meat. The best meats, the choicest meats with real flavor. Of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees. He repeats this, well refined. This is the feast that Isaiah had a vision of, that God is going to host the whole world with. And he will destroy, again, at one-ment, is he's going to bring his people at one, and then the Feast of Tabernacles is the ingathering of the whole world. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. They've been deceived. We're in a world of deception. And the veil that is spread over all nations, that Satan casts over all nations, he's going to destroy that. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I think if we understand the vision that Isaiah and all the prophets had, that they are calling us to understand, if we have this understanding, we're going to be very, very excited about the Feast of Tabernacles. That zeal will not diminish. That we can't wait to be there and be with our brethren, with like-minded individuals. That as people are sitting down and consuming this mass news and becoming hysterical and confused and depressed, we want to be among the people of God. We want to be in the covenant community and fellowshipping with like-minded individuals and strengthening each other for the time ahead. He says here in Daniel 11, and one of these favorite phrases that I have, I just so many in the Bible, but this is certainly one of them. In Daniel 11 and verse 32, Daniel, as he's seeing the future, he says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall the Antichrist corrupt by flatteries. So they're going to be taken out by flatteries. They're going to, hey, I want to hear smooth things. I want to hear nice things. So Satan tells us what we want to hear. God tells us what we need to hear. He's going to corrupt them by flatteries. But There's going to be a people that don't fall for flattery. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what's in the Word of God. But the people that do know their God, meaning we're reading the scriptures line by line, we understand the whole counsel of God, and we're ready for whatever befalls us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, O King. Do your worst. We trust our God, and he's able to save us. But if he doesn't, that's okay too, because we trust him, and we understand the whole counsel of God. So there's people who don't understand the counsel of God. There's people who are looking for happy times. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy, happy, happy. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, because we just want to be happy. These people will be taken out, because they're going to be surprised by any kind of persecution or suffering. Those of us who are reading the scriptures line by line and understanding that it's going to get dark. And then after it gets dark, it's going to get even darker. And then it's going to get even darker still. But through all of that, we never lose hope that the sun will shine in the morning and the Son of God will return and he will avenge us speedily when he acts, because we have the whole story. And so we're not caught off guard. In fact, the behavior of the Antichrist strengthens our faith. It's like, this is exactly what, how did the prophets know thousands of years ago that this is exactly what would be happening? Whereas others, because they're not searching the scriptures, they are just blown away by surprise, caught off guard. We've got to take the whole counsel. So the people that are studying the scriptures, that do know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. And this is why we gather for these high holy days and this Sabbath days. These are the days that God infuses with his presence. These are the days that he inspires his teachers. These are the days that he inspires our fellowship. And this is why we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Even as God acted to save his people from the Pharaoh, look at Exodus 2. Exodus 2 and verse 23, where we see now God acting to relieve his people from slavery, to bring freedom to his people. And here in Exodus 2 and verse 23, Moses writes, "It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage." So the idea that God's people would be taken into slavery, taken into bondage, this is not a new concept. Although we are looking at a dark future and our freedoms are being taken away from us, and some of us don't even realize what's happening, but I know many of you do, and many of you are not hoodwinked by socialism or communism, or let's just call it Marxism, cultural. You're not hoodwinked. You're fully aware. But many brethren are hoodwinked and are not expecting what's coming. But this concept of oppression and slavery, it's not new. And the idea that God's people would be enslaved by Gentiles, it's throughout the Bible. But here, the children of Israel, they sighed because of the bondage. And God tells us that, remember the widow and the unjust judge, and how she just sighed and was relentless and wouldn't give up. And the judge finally relented and said, "I got to help this woman." And he says, "Listen to the judge. Look what he said. And am I not going to avenge my people?" Meaning, before I return, my people are going to be in dire straits. They're going to be oppressed and enslaved. And they're going to be crying out to me. And even though I don't act right away, when I do act, I will act decisively. And many are going to lose hope, because they were not expecting, they didn't have the whole story. They just wanted to feel good all the time. So the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. So God noted their slavery, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Meaning, it doesn't mean like, "Oh yeah, my covenant." It means, I am acting according to my covenant, and everything I do will be according to the covenant. So if we know the covenant and we know the promises of the covenant, we can have absolute confidence. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in the covenant. So he acted according to the covenant. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Pharaoh didn't respect them. Egypt didn't respect them, but God did. And today, again, is no exception. We're heading into a time where anybody who names the name of Christ will not be respected. You've got to be into all of the craziness and deception and evil to have respect in our society. That's why, in fact, Christ says, if all men speak well of you, woe unto you. Because that's how they spoke about your fathers, who were cursed. So we're not running some sort of popularity contest and hoping we can win the world's favor, or even sometimes favor within the community. We're just preaching the word of God, and let the chips fall where they may. Here now, let's fast forward to Exodus 14. So God had respect to the children of Israel and acted on their behalf. But here in Exodus 14 and verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh shall say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. He's just relentless. He has a desire to enslave and not let these people go. And we should not think, if we were living alive in this time, we shouldn't think, oh, Pharaoh is reasonable. Oh, we're free at last. No, Pharaoh wants to destroy us and oppress us and never let us go. And today's Pharaoh, today's Antichrist, and the Antichrist, all the Antichrists, they're all the same. They're all cut from the same cloth. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. So God is going to allow Pharaoh, to allow his heart, to go the natural carnal way and to be caught up in his own ego and pride, so that he can be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So we are in very, very difficult times, brethren, but this world is going to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we have this opportunity to introduce Christ to the world, to stand firm, to say, like, you know what, maybe we were, you know, specifically designed and created and appointed for such a time as this, that we get to usher in the name of Christ into this dark, demonic world. And rather than being these sort of timid creatures who are terrified of everything and are like, oh, I might die. If I touch somebody, I might die. Hey, hello. We're all subject to die. And we have to die some way. You know, you might avoid COVID and die of a heart attack. Who knows what? But that's this world. And as our brother pointed out, I think it was last week or the week before, that we have to hate, or maybe it was in our discussion, we hate our life in this world. It's not that we hate life. We love life. We live life to the full. We're not like, oh, you know, I haven't really fully lived and I wish I could hold on to this life. We have fully lived and fully loved. And whenever our appointed time to die comes, we're in God's hands. In the meantime, how exciting to be born at such a time as this. How exciting to have light in a world of darkness. How exciting to be able to preach Christ and bring others into the knowledge of Christ. No, we are more than conquerors in Christ. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And you cannot make cowards out of the Holy Spirit-infused people. So while everybody's panicking, oh, COVID, oh, I don't want to go to the feast, I might get COVID. That's not from the Spirit of God. We are more than conquerors. And the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're going to help usher that knowledge into this world. And verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Why have we done this, that we've opened up the economy, and the people are happy again, and they're fellowshipping, and their churches are opened up and meeting again, and families are getting together and laughing again? Why have we done this? And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And the children of Israel were sore afraid, cowards. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Well, that's good. And they said unto Moses, now this is not good. because there were no graves in Egypt, probably meaning Pharaoh was slaughtering these people at will, that their life had no value. And in any kind of communist society, human life has no value. And socialism is just a stepping stone to communism. So we're leaving a world where the human individual means something, and we're entering into a world where human life has no value. And probably because he was just burying these people at will, that was bury them. So because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away, die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt thus with us to carry us out of Egypt? Listen, isn't this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, the Egyptians? Is that what they said? Is that what they said? But this is what happens to people. And this is what will happen to us without the Holy Spirit. And this is what will happen to us when we relax in our observance of the law of God. When we relax in our observance of his feast days. When we don't want to hear counsel of scripture. We just want to hear the nice things. This is where we end up. He says, or they say, leave us alone that we may. Didn't we tell you? We didn't want to be saved. We were quite happy being enslaved. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. We have to, brethren, and let's go to Jude. We have to be of this spirit. We throw caution to the wind when it comes to serving Jesus Christ. There is no option. There's no option B. There's serving Christ and nothing else. Once we have been infused with the Holy Spirit and recruited into this work and this way, there are other options for us. So we're not thinking like, oh, you know, if only we had not done this, then this wouldn't have happened. So if we were all, let's say, for example, we go to the feast, we keep the feast faithfully, and something happens, we wouldn't say, oh, it's your fault. You told us to go to the feast. Didn't we say we wanted to stay home and watch this virtually? No. There's the way of Christ. That's it. And we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so here in Jude, he tells us here in Jude 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Are you sanctified in God the Father? Are you preserved in Jesus Christ? Are you called? This message is for us. Mercy unto you. And peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that's I just got to clear my schedule, I got to sit down, I got to put this message together, it was necessary for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is the battle that we're in, brethren. And all of this discouragement that we're seeing in the world today, all of this fearfulness, all of this, manufactured depression and isolation and anxiety, it's all a spiritual battle. And we must not fall prey to it. We must not be victims of this. We have to contend for the faith which was once delivered. And those who are faithful in God never take God's holy days for granted, are never nonchalant and indifferent about God's holy days. It's a contention. We have to be there. We struggle to be there as the saints of old. We should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why should we do that? For there are certain men crept in unawares. They may not even know what they're doing to the full extent of what they're doing. But this is the reality. The community has been infiltrated by men who have no business being in it, never mind teaching in it, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. But somebody has to play this role. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how bad it can get. I will therefore, because of this dynamic, and there's this constant force that's designed to water down the church. Because of this, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. So this is something that we knew. But again, the way the human mind is, we start to forget, we start to slow down, slip away, compromise, become indifferent. You knew this. How the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, and we just read about how he acted mightily to save them, afterward he destroyed them that believed not. So this is the situation that we see anciently. It's the situation that we see in the first century. Is it any surprise then if we see it in our time? Let's go to the scripture I really want to focus on now. It's Malachi 3. Malachi 3. And what I want us to see here in Malachi 3, and we've kind of seen it throughout the text so far, is that there's a difference. There's a difference. Just because we're in the community doesn't mean we're all the same. There's a difference. And God wants us to understand this difference between those who serve God and those who serve him not. There's a difference between the faithful remnant and those who are not faithful. And we need to do all we can to contend for the faith and be among those that God counts faithful. Be among those that God counts as serving him. Here in Malachi 3, and we'll begin in verse 1, he says, so this is clearly an end time eschatological scripture. This is ahead of us. So if we kind of place ourselves in time here, what does this concern? It concerns the end time. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. That's what he said as well, that with the unjust judge and the widow crying out and the judge finally acting. And God saying, yes, I will avenge my people and speedily. So he will come suddenly to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. So that's the good news. He is coming. But we need the whole story, lest we get drunk and self-satisfied. What's the whole story? Well, let's just keep reading. But who may abide the day of his coming? Uh-oh. It seems like there's a problem. It seems like the good news is not 100% happy, happy, happy. Because now he's asking the question, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's silk. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So if you had somebody sitting down, purifying the dross and taking it off the silver. This is how he's going to, this is an analogy for God's relationship with his people. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. So there's preciousness there, but it has to go through the furnace in order to be purified. That, why? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. And again, if we've been following the scroll of Isaiah, this makes perfect sense to us. As in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness. This is the covenant community. And there's a difference between those who are adhering to the word of God and being the faithful remnant. And those who are straying and getting into all kinds of weird movement and convincing themselves that this is somehow godly behavior. They're getting involved in darkness. And now God is coming and he's saying, I will witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless. And that turn aside the stranger from his right. This is all of this is this communistic world that we're heading into. It's guilty of all of this. And fear not me. And hopefully we're not getting involved in this and we're not fearing the word of God. We have to fear God and not get involved in these things. And this says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. So people take this verse out of context. But in context, what it means is, there will be a faithful remnant. Even if God has to put them in the furnace to burn off the dross, he will not turn from his covenant. And that's why the sons of Jacob, God doesn't, when God makes a covenant, you know, the Greek philosophers take this to say, you know, God is this sort of nebulous, what did Aristotle call him? The unchanged change, which I forget what he called it, the unmoved mover. That's garbage. and nonsense. What God is a God of his word. And he's made a covenant, and because of this covenant, the sons of Jacob will not be destroyed. Even if they have to go into the tribulation, and it's the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob will not be destroyed. God will be the God of Jacob forever. And so that's why they will not be destroyed, because he doesn't change his covenant. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances. So this is just the nature of Israel. Why should first fruits Israel be any different? Why shouldn't we also stray from his ordinances? But there's always a faithful remnant. So again, the question is, what's our perspective and approach to the Feast of Tabernacles? Is it really a height for us? Are we like excited to come and be with the brethren? Or are we different? Even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. There it is. And that's why I'm speaking about this now. There's time. If we've slipped away, if we've become indifferent, if we haven't been faithfully tithing, there's time now. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Okay, let me tell you, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offering, those are holy, and they are mine. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And again, we see this sort of feeble church if people are not tithing faithfully. When I came into the church was strong. And I didn't know what second tithe was. I didn't know what the feast was. But brethren were so generous because they couldn't spend all that money in 8 days. They were happy to share it with others. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room to receive it. Amen and amen. When God blesses, he blesses. And we just want to be faithful and receive these, not just physical, but spiritual blessings, that we are just in awe. How is it, God, that we are in this position we're in? How did you find, why did you choose us? Why are we blessed so richly? Well, he knows us, and he knows that through the Holy Spirit, we will do his will. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So he will look after them. And listen, all nations shall call you blessed. They're going to repent. They're going to realize how wrong they were. First, all nations will persecute us. And then they will call us blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. And when I say we, I mean all Israel. Judah, that includes Jerusalem, and it includes first fruits Israel. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? So they don't even know. And today the church can have stout words against God, and we don't even realize what we're doing. So they didn't even realize, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. You've said we don't need to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You've said it's okay to stay at home. We don't have to assemble. You've said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Why should we suffer? Shouldn't we feel good as Christians? Isn't it nice to know Christ, and shouldn't everything just be happy? And why are we walking mournfully? Why are we being oppressed? Why are we choosing paths that run into conflict with the world? Why don't we just agree with the world and make it easy on ourselves? And now we call the proud happy. Those people who are standing up against God and spewing out all kinds of Marxist filth, we're holding them up as heroes and saying they're good people and God is for them. And we're calling the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are set up. He's speaking anciently of his time, the prophet Malachi. But doesn't this speak of our time? Because it's dual. And now we have wicked people holding up other wicked people as heroes and seducing the church to agree. These sons of Belial are our heroes. Instead of holding up those who are faithful to God as our heroes and rejecting the sons of Belial, rejecting wickedness, we're seduced by it, and we call the proud happy, and they that work wickedness are set up. Yes, they that tempt God are even delivered. And we're starting to promote how wonderful their path is. In the midst of all of this, and this is why, brethren, it's so important that we go to the feast, that we physically assemble, that we find the church within the church, and we fellowship with the church within the church. Then in the midst of all of this, at this time, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. This is what we did. And the Lord hearkened. This is something God observed and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. This is why it's important for us to be together, brethren. Physically together, acknowledging and recognizing the Holy Spirit within each other, iron sharpening iron, and being around like-minded and realizing, no, this word of God is true. And I'm not the only one who understands it, that I'm around like-minded brethren who are equally inspired by the word of God. And the seduced among us who are worshiping the wicked and upholding the wicked, we pray for them. But we're going to speak often to one another, and we're going to remember and glorify the name of God. And God says, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that does what? That serves him. How can we serve him if we don't obey him? We have to obey him. Then you shall, then at this time now. So it's hard to discern. It's hard to discern. But there is a remnant that is committed to the word of God. It's hard. Everybody's saying something nice. Everybody's quoting scripture. And everybody has an argument or an opinion. And so it's kind of hard to kind of tease it all out. But God knows. And God is going to act. And when he does, he's going to make a separation. Because then shall you return. And then shall you discern between the righteous and the wicked. It was very hard because everybody talks a good game. But when God acts and he separates and he saves some but leaves others, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. In other words, there's a bit of confusion until this time. And you really have to be sharp and Holy Spirit inspired to tell the difference, because there's a lot of talk. And we don't really, it's not really clear, well, who's really serving God and who isn't. But God is going to make it clear. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. This is part of the gospel. You don't get to the kingdom without going through this day. That's going to burn as an oven. And all the proud, and again, as we've been going through Isaiah, we see that this is the root cause of the problem. And even in the church, we have the proud. They're not humble. And all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly. There is a wicked doing. And not observing God's holy days is wickedness. And all that do wickedly shall be stubble. I wish I didn't have to read this. But this is part of the counsel of God. God has spoken it. It's going to happen. That within the community will be those who do wickedly, that we cannot discern, but God is going to discern. And they're going to be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, so we're going to be hated by all nations for his name's sake, but we're going to stick to it. We're going to think often about it, and we're going to fellowship with each other and worship and glorify him. But so there's a group that you can't discern, but God is going to discern. And unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of, you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You'll be well looked after. And you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the shoes, under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. God said it, it's going to happen. He's a God of his word. So, unfortunately, this is speaking of people within the community. that God is going to make a distinction and say, this is one that serves me, this is one that doesn't serve me. And that is treacherous and calamitous if we choose not to serve God. And then he says this, remember you the law of Moses, my servant. Don't forget, this is eschatological. This is the end time. This is just before Christ returns. And this is his advice to the faithful remnant. Don't forget the law. Everyone's saying it's done away. Everyone's saying we can relax. Everyone's saying we don't really need to know Torah. We just need to be New Testament Christians and preach a gospel that sounds just like all the other churches. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. So this is where we are, brethren. And again, we just want to do this temperature check to say, as I think about the Feast of Tabernacles and the coming fall holy days, what's my attitude? Do I have this sort of casual laissez-faire? Maybe I'll go up for the weekend. Maybe I'll just watch online. Or am I like, wow, God has given us this grand vision of this powerful return of Christ, the putting down of wickedness, the establishment of Israel and Judah, and specifically Jerusalem, and the ingathering of the whole Gentile world. And he's going to throw this fabulous party for the whole world. And each year we get to rehearse that. And that's why, you know, he's inviting us to this. This is not, we're not going to be forced. He wants to know, do you want to be a part of this? And will you help me reflect and model what I'm going to do in the future? Can you model it now? And help each other and edify each other to more fully grasp this vision year upon year. Every year, God sends out an RSVP invitation, which in French, RSVP, Respondez, s'il vous plaît, with my apologies to my French-speaking brethren for my horrible French accent. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Respond, please. Let me know if you're coming. Because I want to see, should I put a seat aside for you? So as we think about, you know, at the end of one feast, the RSVP goes out for the next feast. And every feast, as we attend and we attend faithfully, we are indicating to God, please set a seat aside for us in your kingdom. When you come and you establish the kingdom and you invite the Gentile world, you lift the veil, the deception of them, from them, and you invite them to participate. I want to be there at your side as part of the first fruits entourage and part of the people that the army of God that is going to educate, this army of educators that's going to help you educate the whole. Count me in. You've sent out an RSVP every year. I'm going to be there. And so let's conclude here in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. In this wonderful, wonderful passage. Verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. RSVP, and they wouldn't come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. There's going to be meat. This is not a vegan thing. God is going to celebrate with meat. And he wants to know, are they coming? All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. No big deal. We can dial it in. Why don't we just watch virtually? But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. They had other priorities. This did not consume them. They were not obsessed with this vision and this reality of what God is doing. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So this is something that there's this hostility toward those who are, it caused the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear it. Here he comes again with his bad news. Reading the scriptures. We don't want to hear it. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. So again, we sort of read that in Malachi. Then says he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. We never want to hear that said about us, brethren. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. And so here we are, maybe sitting here, oh, we keep the Sabbath. And oh, these Sunday-keeping Christians, they don't really know anything. And God is saying, be careful and be humble, because there is going to be an opening up and a great repentance before Christ returns. And in fact, some Sabbath-keeping Christians may be shut out, while Sunday observers may be brought in. As he says here, go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, so this is a preaching of the gospel, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, so it's not all good news. There's still this unfortunate situation where they were not worthy, but some are now coming to the wedding and not taking it seriously. And he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he says unto him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. It's like, these games up. How did you do this? Like, what do you not understand what this is? Do you not understand how honorable this opportunity is? Were you taking this for granted? Did you despise this? He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. This is the Christ we serve. This is the true Lord. This is him describing himself in his own words. If we say we know Christ, this is the Christ we know. Here they are at this wedding. And here's a man that didn't take it seriously. Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not happy, happy, happy for everybody. And we have to know these warnings to make sure we're on the right side of God. If we don't read these things, if we don't take these things seriously, we think we can mock God. We think that anything's acceptable to God. We think we can have any form of behavior and he has to have us. He's saying, I don't have to have you. I can replace you in an instant. And in fact, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is not good news for everybody. We have to be very precise in our understanding of the good news. For many are called, but few are chosen. Brethren, in Christ's own words, many are called, but few are chosen. An RSVP has been sent out by Jesus Christ himself with your name on it. How you observe this coming Feast of Tabernacles is a clear indicator, and how I observe it is a clear indicator of our attitude towards this RSVP. Let us be among those that respond with a heartily, yes, Lord, count me in. And let us demonstrate that as we fellowship with like-minded brethren. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Agent, for this very important message. As we just repeated so many times, just 52 days before the beginning of the fall holiday season. So as you hear today, many are called, but few are chosen. Have you had a chance to respond? Are you coming? Are you ready to go and enjoy the feast? It's not just going because you are commanded to. But what is your attitude? How do you look at this? So thank you so much for this important message today. And now, as we'll close, we'll try it again. And we apologize for the technical difficulties. Now we'll try to reach Brother Tom Malik for the closing prayer. And after the closing prayer, we'll have our last closing hymn on page 105. What appropriate hymn for the message. Come to the feast. So now we'll have Brother Tom Malik for the closing prayer.
Hello, brother. Let us bow our heads, go before the throne. And let's bow our heads, go before God's throne in prayer, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, creator, sustainer of all things, we're so thankful for this day, this Sabbath day, that you've brought us all together and the message that we heard today from your servant, Pastor Adrian. We're so thankful and grateful for this encouraging message that is brought forth to us. Father, we pray that we stay strong in faith, that we support each other, encourage each other in these times as they get tougher and tougher, as your word foretells and shows us, and that we'll continue to be strong and support each other and be faithful to the end. May we find strength in your words and encouragement, and that we'll continue to follow your words in your Sabbath days and the Feast of Tabernacles, that we'll joyfully want to attend and worship you and honor you. And may we be truly faithful in the calling, and may we be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Father. We're thankful for these encouraging words. We pray you continue to watch over us and bless us, and may we be able to meet again this following Sabbath, Father. And all this in Yeshua's holy, righteous name we pray. Amen.